of Sports, episode 53, Karen Korb, two-time Olympic, Paralympic champ, Paralympic champion. Tonight on the Tech of Sports, Karen Korb. Netcast Studio mobile apps are a great way to receive our content for your smart devices. There's an app for both iOS and Android. And don't forget Stitcher Radio and the Stitcher Radio app for all your devices. Stitcher Radio, it's an award-winning provider of news and talk radio for your mobile phone and tablet. Stitcher, it's smart radio for your smartphone. And the Tech of Sports is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network at techpodcast.com. If it's tech, it's here. The Tech of Sports is also a production of Netcast Studio at netcaststudio.com. And you can join us every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific at netcaststudio.com/live. You can join the chat room and listen to the show live. It's great to be back after a couple of weeks off, and we're going to talk about wheelchair tennis and some wheelchair sports today with Karen Korb, two-time Paralympic champion. She's based right here in Atlanta. She's out of town today. She's in Birmingham. We'll find out what she's doing there and everything else she has going on. She's also coaches wheelchair, junior wheelchair athletes, I know, and we'll delve into that a little deeper. So, Karen, thanks for joining us here tonight.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Rick. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, I was excited to see your information come across and have you on tonight. And I know you're got a lot of information and you're real passionate about wheelchair sports and probably how they relate to kids these days and just people in general. It's becoming a big popular sport and getting recognition on television and through all sorts of avenues. So just kind of tell the audience a little about yourself and a little about the basics of wheelchair tennis a little bit.
Well, I don't think we have enough time for me to talk about myself.
the Cliff Notes version.
The Cliff Notes. Okay. my abridged version is, for those of you who don't know, out in internet land, I broke my back as a gymnast. I was 17 at the time and became a chair user fairly early on. And fast forward to now, there's been a lot of sports in between. I'm a full-time wheelchair user and I do not walk. And I've always been an athlete way before I ever broke my back. And tennis came into my life as, I mean, people always ask me, like, well, how did you start playing tennis? And because I don't even like tennis. And I know that my national governing body doesn't like me to say that. But I think, you know, that's sometimes the impetus to sport. Like, you don't even like it. And then it falls into your lap somehow and you start to play it. And that's kind of how it happened for me. And the cool thing about tennis in a chair is that you don't have to play against somebody in a chair. And that's the beauty and of wheelchair tennis, per se, or adapted tennis. You can play with anyone. If you want to play on the tour and if you want to play on the wheelchair tennis circuit, both nationally and internationally, then you need to play against someone in the chair. But we also, we're very sports specific in wheelchair tennis. We have an open division in the ITF and we have a quad division. And the quad division is usually someone who has a four-limb impairment. But in the open division, it is anyone and everyone. And I always say this, it's literally sit down, shut up, and play.
Yeah, and serious.
We don't really focus on what you have or how you became disabled or differently abled or whatever you want to call it. But we really focus on the sport. So it's a cool sport as it relates to just being able to integrate, which is why I really like to teach it, because you can A, teach it to anyone, and B, it's a great facet for any kind of recreation within a family construct or, you know, your husband or your wife or your boyfriend or your girlfriend, your children. If someone has recently sustained a disability, that is a sport that can bring things full circle, so to speak. So I don't know if I answered, and again, I can talk about myself all day long, but that's pretty much wheelchair tennis in a nutshell. I mean, there's only really one specific rule change, and that is you can take the ball on a second bounce if you choose to, but you don't have to. And a lot of my heavy hitters, they play a one bounce game.
And wheelchair tennis has received a lot of publicity in recent years. You've had some really marketable and successful champions playing internationally, including Esther, who's gained lots of international fame. And then prior to that, on the men's side, there were a lot of great players. Are you surprised by kind of the media attention that has been focused on wheelchair tennis?
Oh, no, not necessarily. I know that the United States Tennis Association and the International Tennis Federation, they've been the driving force behind the marketability and the branding behind wheelchair tennis. And, you know, it doesn't hurt to have gold medalists on your quad team. You know, Nick Taylor and Dave Wagner have done a great job at sustaining victories, and people like a gold medal story, you know? And so, and the other part is, again, like before, it's a highly integratable sport. It's technical, it's difficult. It's not an easy sport, but, right. It's fun to play, and you can teach it at many different levels. I mean, just like in able-bodied tennis. And when I say able-bodied, I mean stand-up tennis, you know, people who run, jump, skip, that kind of thing. And you can teach it just the way we teach our able-bodied counterparts, which is, you know, foam balls, 10 and under, size courts. I mean, we want to create success in tennis. And so, no, I'm not surprised. And Esther is an amazing human being, let alone her winning streak. My gosh, I mean, it's epic. It's historic. I'm surprised she did not get more press.
Interesting. Now let's talk about the specifics here for a second. You're using regular tennis rackets that the players that we watch on TV are using. You're using the same rackets, right?
Yes, sir. You know, we use the same rackets in lieu
same
of
balls.
Our sponsors. In our sponsorships, you know,
right.
Most of us are sponsored. So those are the rackets that we use, but yeah, same ball, same rackets, you know, whatever your personal preference is, you know, everyone has a different preference to what surface they like to play on, what racket they like to use, what chairs they like to use, what outfits they want to wear.
Sure. So are the chairs, would they be similar? We've all seen the chairs used in that marathoners use, wheelchair marathoners, are they similar type chairs? They're not your typical chair that you'll see the person going down the aisle at Walmart with.
No, definitely not. Again, when you reach a specific level, and it doesn't matter what sport that you're participating in, you know, you're going to get some gear that's, let's just say, built for you. And again, like I said earlier, tennis is a sport that is sport-specific, wheelchair tennis. So when you get a chair, you're not necessarily, you know, creating something that's super-duper new, like the marathon chairs. Marathon chairs are super light, but they're very low to the ground. They're aerodynamic. That's the big term, aero.
Yep.
How do you cut through the air? And in tennis, it's also very specific. It's different than a wheelchair basketball chair, and it's body-specific. Like, let's say hypothetically you are a bilateral amputee, which means a person who is missing two of his lower extremities. You wouldn't need a lot of chair. So usually when the chair is custom built, they don't have foot plates or the bottom half of the chair. So the chair is a lot lighter, and you want to be as tight as possible in your chair. So everyone has a very specific chair built to their body. Like mine is built to my body. I like to sit up a little bit taller, so I have the chair built taller. It's made out of carbon fiber components and titanium, so it's super light. It's probably less than 20 pounds. My sponsor is Eagle Sports Chairs, based out of Snellville, Georgia. I've been with them for quite a number of years. Barry Ewing is the owner there, and he's been very, very good to me. My everyday chair, super light. Again, super aerodynamic, fits my body tight, because you don't want to work against your equipment.
Sure.
So everyone who plays has a very, for the most part, a very specific chair for their bodies.
Everybody has their own preferences. And when you get to that level, I mean, tennis players in general are really particular about their equipment and about everything anyway. So I'm sure that carries over to wheelchair tennis.
Yes, no question. Absolutely. We're a cute little pretentious bunch. We are.
Well, that's tennis players in general. You can call it that. Other people call it other things. So
yes,
we're here with Karen Corbin, and she's a Paralympic tennis champion. We're talking with her about wheelchair tennis and wheelchair sports in general. You mentioned the wheelchair basketball. That's been really popular here recently as well. And just wheelchair sports in general. What What do you see on the horizon when it comes to sports in the chair, and how good are these athletes getting now in the chairs? I've seen videos and tapes, and I follow it, you know, somewhat from a distance. I've seen it a little bit, but I mean, it's really amazing what gets done in the chairs now.
Well, Rick, we'll have to play sometime.
Yeah, I don't know about me in the chair. I can get on the court, but
I mean, you don't need to listen. You don't need to sit. I'll just play against you standing up, and I'll play a one bounce game. What do you think?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I've seen those demonstrations where, you know, people think playing in the wheelchair is easy. You don't have to run, and then they put the able bodied, you know, person in the wheelchair, and it's like a funny TV show, candid camera. They can't get anywhere, and the person in the wheelchair is running circles around them. So I mean, I know it's not easy, and I mean, people, I'm sure if they try it one time, they have a new respect for you guys.
Well, I'm very humored with playing. I mean, one of the beautiful things about tennis and how integrated it is that anyone, myself or anyone who happens to play wheelchair tennis, can play in any of the USTA, which is the United States Tennis Association, leagues or flex leagues, which I have done. And I'm very, very humored. I think this is the reason that I play. I'm the only person with a disability in the league, and then I will play someone who's a stand-up person. That's, you know, I play 4-0, 4-5 on occasion, and it's very interesting how we all have a perception of who we're gonna play, myself included. Like if I'm playing against someone who happens to be a bit bigger, automatically my perception or my ignorance, let's just say that, is, oh, I got this game. She's not, you know, she's too big to run. And then I get schooled because she's an expert in the land of trick shots and drop shots and lobs and all of that. Same thing happens when someone plays against me. They'll see the wheelchair and they'll be like, oh, you know, look how cute little wheelchair girl. And then they get the first forehand down the line that they flail and they miss. And then the whole look across the court is very different. You know, the look is like, oh, you're going to bring it like that. And I'm like, yeah, kind of, because that's how tennis is played. You know, no, I'm not out here to play, you know, not tennis. I'm out here to get the big W behind my name. That's the whole point, you know. So it's a fun time. It really, really is. And I encourage anyone who has a disability, you know, even who doesn't have a disability, just get off the couch, you know, get a racket, get a ball, and play a little.
Sure. That's going to bring me into my next topic here, but I'm going to take a quick break for our sponsor here, Amazon.com. They're our sponsor here at the studio, and just let the listeners know if you're doing any shopping on Amazon. Here in the next few months, summer's wrapping up, back to school, weddings this fall, birthdays, that type of thing. Amazon.com can meet all your needs, and there's no extra cost to use our studio affiliate link here at Netcast Studio. It's netcaststudio.com/Amazon, and it helps bring the programming that the studio does to you guys and the public and the fans out there. And it takes a lot of effort to put on these shows, and that's just the affiliate link that helps out the studio here little by little. So if you're using Amazon, no extra cost, easy to use. Just go to netcaststudio.com/Amazon, then just do all your shopping like you normally would, and it helps out Netcast Studio. So, we're with Karen Korb here talking wheelchair tennis, wheelchair sports, and I know you were recently out in California, Karen, at the USTA ITF Junior Wheelchair Camp out there for juniors, and I got some coverage and some information on that, and was that your first time working that camp, and what was your impressions of how that camp went out there this year?
No, definitely not my first time working this camp. This camp actually evolved out of a camp Mike Watson and his brother Bob Watson created like a billion years ago, and the camp used to be held on Coronado Island. I mean, it was awesome. Coronado Island in San Diego County. Probably, I want to say, started about 15 years ago. And I had the privilege of working with this amazing staff then. And then what happened was Bob made his transition, and Mike also made his transition, meaning they died. And there was a lull in this camp. And the, you know, Jason Harnett, who's the director of tennis out at Marguerite Tennis Center, he brought it to his counsel and his boss, Brian, and they were like, let's partner with the ITF and the USTA. Let's bring that junior camp of the Americas back here. We have a great facility, and that's exactly what they did. And this camp is just amazing. This year we had 31 kids, six different countries. I mean, we're talking top of the liners. These guys, you would just, you know, you saw the footage. I mean, it'll blow your mind. And I'm really, really proud to be part of this staff. I mean, you know, working with a great staff makes things just flow. It's easy. And I'm really grateful for that. It's a challenge. It's a long week. Yep. And, but these kids, I mean, I don't think they sleep. Seriously. They just, and I can remember when tennis was first in my life and what I was like a lunatic, but these guys and girls, they're just formidable. They're wonderful, amazing contributors to just humankind, aside from the tennis, because they're bright and they're vibrant and they know how to hit a tennis ball real well.
Yeah, I mean, tennis is probably a small part of actually what everyone gets out of that camp. So it's I'm glad it's continuing. It looks like it's going to continue for years and years to come. And also this year, a special visit maybe from Conan O'Brien.
Oh, my gosh. What a trip. Yeah. We took every year, you know, it's just so funny. Every year there's an adventure. Like, where are we taking the kids this year? Last year it was SeaWorld out in San Diego, and this year it was Universal Studios. I mean, graciously, because Jason Harnett coordinated it all. He's just an amazing person. And so he's like, yeah, we're going to go see Conan. And I was like, what? What am I going to wear? You want me to wear that camp t-shirt? No. I'm going to go see Conan, please. He could be, you know, if he ever gets divorced from his wife, he could be my new pretend husband. No. Anyway, he was so, you know, if you've ever seen Conan, I'm sure you have, he is just, he's uniquely funny in his, you know, in his unique Conan O'Brien way.
Without even trying to be funny, he is funny.
Absolutely. That's a great description, Rick, because he really doesn't try. He's just, you know, he's very present. He, you know, a lot of people could get freaked out by 30 kids in wheelchairs, you know, all geeking at, you know, like, hey, it's Conan O'Brien. But he was just so on it, you know, funny, and I like him. I like him even more now than I did before. And wow, he's really super tall. Yep. He is tall, tall. Like, you just can't even imagine how tall he is in person, but very kind. Very kind, and the kids love him.
Rumor is he's a tennis player. Did he get out and hit with any of the kids?
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I think we're going to coordinate for next year, because I thought that would be a great idea. He did rock out one of our hats, and he saw some footage, and I think he got a little bit nervous. and I really believe, like, our top junior, Chris Herman, could really give him a run for his money. I think Chris Herman could give any one of us a run for our money, believe me. But Conan was, you know, I'm sure he would be willing to do it, definitely.
Yeah, he's game for just about anything, and hopefully next year I'd like to come out and cover that camp a little bit. That is a fantastic week out there, and I'm sure you and the other instructors are just a great inspiration to the kids as well.
Yeah, because it's, you know, I talk about this often. It's more than just tennis. It's you know, and I say this in my everyday life, you know, tennis is like life. There's a lot of analogies that you can draw from, you know, your game, integrity, honesty, you know, the virtues of life. And you can teach that, I think, very easily when you're on the court. And kids, you know, they're open. They're willing to listen. You know, they're 6-7 hours on the court, and you can really, they hear you. And it may be the same exact thing that their parents are saying to them, but it comes from a different person. It comes from a coach. So they're hearing it a little bit differently. And I think we return children to their parents in a much better, stronger, empowered way. No question.
I'm sure the saddest part of the camp is the day they have to leave.
Oh, yeah. There's tears. You know, myself included. And, it's always great to see them the following year, though. We have a lot of return campers, and to see how they grow, not just in their game, but as little human beings and what they're focused on, and, you know, in life as well as their tennis games. It's just, you know, makes me very proud to be a part of it, because I always say it takes a village. It takes all of us to raise good kids. Whether it's in wheelchair tennis or in our school systems or the PTA or whatever in our neighborhoods, it's just really important to just pay a little close attention, because parents can't do it all. It's tough.
Yeah, life is tough enough for kids that have everything at their disposal. And, and these kids are, overcoming obstacles that other kids don't have to. So I'm sure they not only appreciate it, I'm sure that they really bring something back to their hometowns and to their schools that the other kids really can't imagine what they've experienced.
Yeah, Rick, that's often what people say. But what I see is these kids have so much grace and humility that I don't even think they see themselves as overcoming anything. All they're doing is living their lives.
I'm just talking about the perception probably other people have of them.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt. Like, the members come out and they're just in awe. And people in general are just in awe, because I think people with disabilities, just generally speaking, raise the bar for physicality and life and what we do with it, because we just do it, And so people on the outside will look in and be like, oh my gosh, I didn't work out today. Or, oh, did I have to eat that extra piece of pizza? Or, my God, look at these kids. They're just doing so much more than I'm doing in my own life. And I think, being an inspiring kid is a great deal.
Absolutely. And we're wrapping up here with Karen Korb, just a real inspiration to many and an inspiring show tonight, Karen. So appreciate you coming on. I got a couple more questions for you. But as we wrap up, you are a world-class athlete yourself. Talk about your workout routine a little bit and what you do. Maybe, I don't know if you're doing a daily basis or what your kind of your normal week is for your routine.
It's a great question. Always a work in progress. Mm-hmm. I start my day warm lemon water. It's a cleanse. But, nutrition is one thing, and then the workout routine is a whole different ballgame. But I think at this stage of my career, the psychology is the most important part, along with the other components. But I start my day I do a Twin Hearts meditation. It's a global healing meditation. It's pretty much the most important thing in my routine. And then there's a couple days that I am on the court. And then there is pretty much every day except Sunday, I cardio. Mm-hmm. Because part of, my game playing style is I'm just going to run down every ball. I may not have the best technical skills, but I'm going to make you win that point. So I stay up on my cardio. I cross train. I'm always swimming. And a new sport for me is hand cycling. So I cycle a lot as well. Yes, sir. That's a big one.
That is gaining in popularity too. And you have all your bases covered. How can listeners and of the show here follow you? You have a website, your social media accounts, whatever you want to promote. This is your time, Karen, we'll put links up in the show notes as well. And how can listeners follow what you have going on?
I'm always open. I mean, I'm reachable on Facebook just by my name, which is KarinKorb, and my Twitter. I don't know. Do you call it a handle? What do you call it? Twitter name? Twitter handle?
Twitter account name. Yeah.
Twitter something is also under my name at Karen Korb. I'm very different on my Twitter than I am on my Facebook. I just noticed that recently. I don't know why that is. I'm sure there's a book written on it somewhere or a blog. And my email is also my name at gmail.com. If anyone ever needs to reach me, any advice about tennis or nutrition or, just things about kids, I've got an expertise in a lot of things. Like I said, right now I'm at a military camp. It's, there's just a lot of things going on in my world, but I am, I'm very open. I'd be happy to talk to just about anybody, unless you're creepy. Don't contact me if you're creepy.
we don't have any creepy listeners of the Tech of Sports. So this is a highfalutin audience I have, and I know you're always willing to share information and tips and things if people are kind and email you or try to engage with you. I know you're great at that.
Yeah, I do my best. I know
you're busy.
Yeah, I give myself a 48-hour window, but all these technical tools. I'm really I'm really grateful for them because I can stay connected that way. And you know, and Skype is awesome. Like my mom and sister are in Germany right now, so I can Skype with them and see them. And I mean, it's just cool.
It really is. And as we wrap up, I ask all my guests here, Karen, I've had other professional athletes and coaches and sports technology business executives and you name it. I've had extreme athletes on here. I always ask them one last question. What's the one gadget or piece of technology that you can't live without?
Oh, that's a good one. I don't think I've ever been asked that before.
Hey, this is a groundbreaking show here, Karen.
You know, I hate to admit it, and I'm sure I need to go to Cellular Users Anonymous at some point in my life. But my iPhone, I am quoted constantly. Like, where's my phone? Where's my phone? Is my phone? Can somebody call me? Where's my phone? Where's my phone? So I would definitely say my phone.
Well, let me give you a tip, Karen. If you're always losing your phone or can't find it, I've been testing a new product here. It's called the Cuckoo Watch, and it has it's Bluetooth tied to your iPhone. So when your iPhone gets 20 or 30 feet away from you, the watch on your wrist will vibrate, letting you know that you've been separated from your phone, so you don't leave it somewhere or lose it. How does that sound?
Oh my God, can you send me one of those? I would love that. That could be my new favorite technological piece of equipment.
It is the Cuckoo Watch. It's cuckoowatch.com. And there's also a button on there where it allows you to check into Facebook by pressing a button. It'll also alert you when you have a text or email message. So it's, I heard about it back earlier in the year, and I finally got one that I'm testing, and it really does work, and it's a cool device. So it's, you know, watches kind of went out of style when everyone started carrying their smartphones around, but watches are making a comeback, and these smartwatches, I think I'm watching this product because I think they're going to be hot come holiday time and in the next year. So
listen, for someone like me, that's an ideal product. And listen, you know, I'm taking on new sponsors, Rick. Focus, send them on over.
Hey, I don't own the company, but I may have an in for you. So we'll talk after the show, or we'll talk during the week.
Lovely.
Karen, great having you on. KarenKorb.com for all your information. Is your schedule on there too?
I try to keep that on the DL, you know.
Well, I don't know if you're trying to promote a speaking engagement or something you're at or that type of thing. So
can you come work for me, Rick? That would be great.
We'll talk. I do that as well. So we'll talk a little later on. Plus, you're an Atlantan, so we have a connection there as well.
Awesome, Rick. Thank you so much for having me. I so
Karen,
appreciate it.
Great. You're a great guest, and you're doing a great job, and keep up the good work. And appreciate you coming on. This has been the Tech of Sports. Netcast Studio has many other shows which could be of interest to you. You can head on over to netcaststudio.com and check out all the shows that are available. And also, Netcast Studio has released their podcast and internet broadcast directory. It's twothumbsupmedia.com, where you can look on there and see all sorts of new shows that may be of interest to you and you can listen to. So a lot going on with Two Thumbs Up Media and Netcast Studio. This has been the Tech of Sports, a Netcast Studio production.